You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast, here to talk about no top flight football whatsoever because it's International Week and we've already had some of the action, recording this on Friday morning. We've got one game to look forward to Friday evening and three on Sunday that will be previewed on this podcast. I'm Alex Dunn, I'm not Dave Kellner. He could not be bothered once again, but Tom Kerwin could and so could Derek McGovern. Good morning, chaps.
Good morning.
Dave Kellner not skiing this time, just I think literally couldn't be bothered. Which is lovely. Are you both excited for a top quality weekend of international football?
Oh, yes. This is, I mean, you can stick your Liverpool and Man United versus Man United and Tottenham v Arsenal. This is the big one. England v Lithuania, the one we've been waiting for all year.
England weren't too bad in midweek, were they?
You were playing against a team basically treating it as a testimonial and they still lost.
Okay, so they were. Tom?
I'm quite excited. I'm excited more for a break from probably the football that I've been watching, you know, watching a lot of Championship football as well. I'm quite happy just for the stresses and strains of that league just to be put to one side for just a weekend. So it's not necessarily that I'm excited about international football. I'm just excited about a break from Championship football.
OK, fair enough. We'll start with Friday night's game then. It's Republic of Ireland against Wales. This one could be pretty interesting. Ireland are 6-4, the draw 2-1, and Wales are 9-4. Plenty of enhanced odds offers once again on the William Hill website. And this is a Your Odds game as well. Hashtag Your Odds. If you want to get in touch with the traders, tweet at William Hill with hashtag Your Odds and the bet that you would like. We've enhanced Shane Long to score and Ireland to win from 3s to 7-2. Or Gareth Bale to score 2 or more, pushed out from 8s to 10s, and a few other enhanced odds on there as well. We'll start with you here, Derek. Priced up as the Ireland are, well, they are the favourites, but it's priced up pretty delicately. Traders don't seem to know what to make of this one. And if I'm being honest, I wouldn't really know where to start with this either. What do you think?
Well, you're right. It's a tough one to call. You've got to wonder about how both sides will treat it, because it's been described as a must-win game. Well, it isn't for the Republic of Ireland. They're sitting pretty at the top of their group. I don't quite know how, by the way, but they are 4 points clear of Wales. So, you know, a draw would suit them very, very nicely. For Wales, though, it's must win, because remember, it's only the top teams go through automatically in these groups, and then the second to the best eight second place teams go through, go into the playoffs or something like that. So it's an important fixture for Wales, and they'll be made up that Gareth Bale is fit after so long out. I looked at this fixture and I thought, if Bale is undercooked, I don't like Wales' chances. But everything we've heard from Chris Coleman, the Wales manager, and Bale himself suggests that he's fighting fit and, you know, and back to his best. And if Bale is back to his best, you've got to give Wales a massive chance here at these kind of prices. 9-4 is big for a team that got to the semi-finals of the Euros last summer. And, you know, people are saying they've gone off the boil a little bit. Well, they haven't lost in that group yet. One win and three draws. And I think there's a lot more to come from them. The Republic have got an awful lot of injuries, far from fully fit off their squad. I've got any doubts about them. I look at the Wales team and I look at the Republic of Ireland team, and on neutral territory, I'd be backing Wales all day long. I'm never afraid to back teams away from home, even in internationals. And I think Wales at 9-4 are overpriced there.
Okay. Tom, Gareth Bale 6-4 any time. That's the same price as Republic of Ireland are to win this match. Thing is, I look at Republic of Ireland, I just don't see loads of goals. And Wales tend not to score too many anyway, but they get the job done, or at least they have done in recent years. But as Derek was saying there, Wales' results so far, if you go back 2 years, they'd be pretty pleased with them. It's just that they overachieved maybe at the Euros, is that maybe some people have been slightly underwhelmed by them so far. But what do you think?
Well, I think they're massively underachieving. You've got to remember, this Welsh team were the top seeds in this qualifying group, so you'd expect them to be leading the way at the top of the table. But what's telling for me about Wales is those last three results. They've had 3 score draws in a row, and in every single one of those games, they were in front at half-time, and they've let lead slip towards the end. So there's a trend there that I think could well follow up this weekend. I think a few months ago, Republic of Ireland, if they had their fully fit team and Wales didn't have Gareth Bale, this is a home win all day long. But you look at the players that are missing from the Republic of Ireland team. Now, let's not forget, I know Austria were awful in the Euros, but their qualifying record and their home record over the last couple of years is fantastic. And Ireland went there and deservedly won that game. And I know Austria aren't in a great place now, but it was still a pretty impressive result. But you're looking at the team this weekend, five of the players that played in Austria are likely to be missing, including, you know, their first-choice centre-backs, Kieran Clark and Shane Duffy. So you take those two out of it, you take Harry Arter out of it, Wes Houlihan, Robbie Brady, who's suspended. That severely weakens his Republic of Ireland side. But Wales are all dependent on Gareth Bale. Now, they're dependent on a world-class superstar player. And it could well be the difference, but I can't see this being anything other than a draw. Ireland will set themselves up for that because they know they don't need to win this game. They just need to keep the Welsh at arm's length. Wales are going there knowing, and I know Chris Coleman's trying to play it cool, but he knows his team have got to win. They've dropped some. I mean, you know, a home draw against Serbia and a home draw against Georgia. I mean, these are poor results for a team that, as I say, were top seeds in this group. So I think it'll be a draw all day long because it will suit the Republic of Ireland, and I think they'd probably take it given their injuries. But I mentioned that little trend about Wales letting half-time lead slip. The double result Wales draw is 16-1, and I don't mind the look of that at all, but I think this will end up all score. I think it'll be a good game, and I think it'll be a score draw. So the draw on both teams to score as well will come into my thinking at 16-5, but it's going to end all square, I'm sure of it.
Okay, certainly a big price, isn't it, for Wales to take the lead at half-time and then the draw at full-time 16-1. And as you said, the draw twos, score draw 16-5. What would your overall selection be here then, Derek?
I think it'd just be a Wales win at 9-4. I think they're overpriced.
Okay, fair enough. So next we move to Sunday's action. And England are in action once again, this time at home to Lithuania. This one coming up at 5 o'clock on Sunday. England are 1-8. The draw 8-1, and Lithuania are 25-1. We touched on England a little bit earlier. There was perhaps some encouragement in the first half performance, at least, against Germany. Some players, the likes of Ali and Lallana, did play well. And Lallana, who's part of the enhanced odds, Lallana to score and England to win, pushed out from 8-5 to 7-4. We've also got Vardy to score and England to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0, pushed out from 5-2 to 11-4. Tom, I'm going to stick with there were encouraging signs in that Germany performance. The result wasn't fantastic, but they were beaten by a world-class goal in the end. But the fact that they didn't score when on top would have to be a concern, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's still major weaknesses to this team. I mean, you're still looking at the squad that Gareth Southgate picked. And I wouldn't exactly get too hung up on a debate about who he shouldn't have picked or if there was any major absentees. He's picked probably the best set of English players that are out there that are currently playing. But sadly, and the mark of it for me is, I think, how many of those players would get near the Germany team, would get near the top teams in the world. And that's just... it's just where we're at right now, and we're looking for encouraging signs, little glimpses, little changes that might sort of build us up, you know, a little bit of hope again. But I think Gareth Southgate's coming from such a long way back now in terms of the mood of the country about this England team. I think we all just accept that England are what they are now, which is a team that will qualify for every major tournament. There's no worries about that. But when they get there, there is no serious expectation of winning it. But, you know, you've got to give him a fair crack of the whip, and hopefully he gets a few years and he can turn things around and, you know, maybe get us on a front footing again. But ultimately, he's only as good as the players he's got. And sadly, there are not enough world-class players. There aren't many players in the England team I'd pay money to go and watch. You know, and, you know, there's some good players, but there's not necessarily those superstars that I think, yeah, you know, Gareth Bale, I'd pay money to go watch him play. England, I'm not so sure. The one thing, though, with this game is you can set your watch by England and home qualifying games at Wembley, can't you? I mean, their record is second to none against these kind of nations like Lithuania and where they are in the world rankings. I mean, you know, it's as regular sort of them churning out 2-3-0 and 4-0 victories as, you know, Jose Mourinho sort of scowling in post-match interviews. So it's going to happen. They've scored 7 in the last 2 against Lithuania. They've not conceded. They've won 12 of 14 at home. They've got that 2-point lead at the top of the table. There's no one really, I think, causing much of a threat. And Lithuania are no great shape. I mean, they're a point above Scotland in the group, but they lost 3-0 to the Czech Republic in midweek. Their only win in the last 7 has come against Malta. They did draw in Scotland, but that's not saying anything because Scotland drew with Canada this week. So, look, they've not won in 14 away matches. We won this fixture 4-0 last time, and Lithuania have lost by 2 goals, by at least 3 goals in the last couple of away matches. So, you know, you can take your pick of goal scorers here, but I know it's not sort of massive prices, but England minus 2 at 10-11, you're going to get a 2-3-0 victory, but nothing more, nothing too spectacular. And I think if I'm looking at goal scorers, I probably can't look too far past Lallana. I know he's missed a few chances, both for club and country recently, but he always seems to get himself into positions, and I don't mind the 7-4 there for Lallana to score in England to win.
Okay, fair enough. Derek, what's your knowledge of the Lithuanian national team like?
Oh, dear me. I mean, the poor manager only has 14 adults to choose from, I think, in Lithuania. 15 if the keeper can get someone to mind his goats. I mean, we should be looking like a cricket score for England. But then we see the look at the strikers Gareth Southgate has chosen, and we immediately start talking about cricket. I mean, this is a desperately poor England squad. It was just a glorified testimonial, as I said earlier, and England still lost. They've got a manager who he must be pinching himself that he's managing England. He is to managing what he was to playing. I mean, how he's in charge of England, God only knows. You look at the squad too. I'm a rough guess. You know, I've been looking at the names, and I'd say half the England squad have spent part of their career out on loan. The only reason the other half didn't is that no one wanted them. And another thing I've noticed too, this was particularly noticeable during the Euros, the more Tottenham players that have been drafted into the squad, the worse England have played. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise because the same thing happened to Tottenham. I just think England are a terrible a side that always are talked up and always fail to deliver, except in matches like this. Because England v Lithuania, it's like Groundhog Day. I mean, see, I'm sure this fixture's taken place about 14 times in the last 2 years, and England generally win 3-0, 4-0, and it'll happen again. You know, they played twice in the qualifiers for 2016. England won 4-0 at home and 3-0 away. They haven't conceded for England for a long time. I'd go as far as to nail the scoreline here. England 3, Lithuania 0. Tom's bet, -2 at 10 to 11. That looks absolutely nailed on.
Okay, and if you are backing correct scores, England 3-0 is 9 to 2, but we're expecting pretty much a walk in the park.
2. Is that all it is?
Yeah, it's the joint favourite in the correct score with 2-0. 2-0 and 3-0, both 9 to 2. 4-0 is 6 to 1, incidentally, if you are looking for a little bit more value. Right, we'll move to a game that, well, I don't know what I'd call it. Scotland against Slovenia. 7-5 Scotland. The draw 21-10. Slovenia are 23-10. And Derek, Scotland not exactly flying high at present, as reflected in the draw against Canada the other night.
I know. Canada, a country where every other person is an elk, and they can only draw with them at home. I mean, good. Strachan said he learned a lot from that game. Principally that Canada are useless, and so are Scotland. I mean, what do you say? Slovenia are England's closest rival, so the Scots could do England a favour here, which of course means they won't. Whenever I look at international fixtures, my first thought is look somewhere else. But then I look at these prices, and you've just got to oppose Scotland. I mean, Slovenia are 23-10. I don't see why that won't cop. This is a desperately poor Scotland team. They've got a few changes to make from the squad that lined up against Canada, the mighty Canadians in midweek. But the players that come in hardly fill you full of confidence if you're a Scot. Thankfully, I'm not. 23-10 Slovenia. All I can say is that they're not as bad as Scotland.
Okay. Fair enough. A ringing endorsement there of Slovenia. Tom, what do you think? I mean, I couldn't back Scotland at 7-5 here.
No, I mean, you know, in a similar kind of way to England, you know, Gareth Southgate ended up with that job. You know, Gordon Strachan's got the Scotland job. He'll cling on to it, but he's not really under that amount of pressure because I think they've almost seemed to have given up the Scots. I mean, you know, some of the players he's had to pick in the squad and the lack, I mean, the real lack of quality options that he has. You know, he's not getting a lot out of them because the problem someone like Gordon Strachan has is the job that Michael O'Neill's done at Northern Ireland, you know, with a far inferior pool of players and far less numbers. But Gordon Strachan can't seem to get a tune out of his Scottish players. And just generally the whole place. I mean, what was the less than 10,000? I mean, I know they were playing Canada, but, you know, the national team are playing in Edinburgh and there's less than 10,000 fans there. You'd expect, a better turnout than that. And I just think it's the general mood at the moment. And it's probably sweeping across quite a lot of countries. And I look at Scotland and I think, God, you know, their results have been so poor already in the qualifying. They've won one of their last five matches. The draw against Canada. Well, they're up against the Slovenian side, who ain't that bad. Remember, they only missed out on the Euros in the playoffs against Ukraine. And their results so far in qualifying have been decent. People look at a 1-0 win over Malta and say, well, that's not great because they should be winning by more. But, of course, they held England to the draw. They're unbeaten in five matches away from home. And they've got some players in that team. I mean, they really do. I mean, Kevin Campbell, the Leverkusen midfielder. Obviously, they've got the Atletico Madrid keeper, Oblak as well. So there's some quality players in the Slovenian side. They are definitely good enough to get a result against Scotland. And I'm with Derek. I'll probably look at them to win the game. If not, you know, you might think Scotland could ground it out for a draw. But Scotland are struggling to score and they're conceding goals. So Slovenia will target this game, I think, for all 3 points. You know, they'd settle on the point. but I think they'll be going for a win. And 23-10 is decent, but it's not that much different. You know, difference in price there for the draw either at 21-10, but you cannot be touching Scotland at 7-5 here.
Okay, so basically just oppose the Scots.
Yeah.
In that one, the final game that we're going to focus on is Northern Ireland against Norway. Northern Ireland 7-5, the draw 21-10, Norway 23-10, priced up as we record, exactly the same as the Scotland game. But this is a 7-5 on Northern Ireland that probably looks a little bit kinder, Tom, against the Norwegian side, who are made up of predominantly Hull players, the likes of Adama Diomande, and they've just signed El Abdeloui as well, haven't they, the wing-back. It's not a vintage Norwegian side, and Northern Ireland do have a habit now of just grinding these results out, don't they?
My favourite bet of the weekend is Northern Ireland to win this game. I mean, I was thinking about Norway, and you remember kind of mid to late 90s, remember that 1998 Norway team that went to the World Cup? Do you remember some of the players? I mean, Norway used to have a really, really good team, and you went through the Premier League teams, and more often than not, most of them had a Norwegian player, you know, and a Norwegian player that was a key part of their team. You know, and now, you know, Norwegian, I mean, you're talking there, but I mean, I know Josh King is in a bit of a purple patch for Bournemouth, but generally, you look down that squad and there is absolutely nothing there. They've picked up 3 points from their opening four games, right? But those 3 points came against San Marino, in which they conceded a goal. They scored four, but they conceded a goal. They've won three of their last 13 games, and they've all come at home, by the way. So away from home, they are shocking. No wins in seven matches away from home. And Northern Ireland, yeah, I mean, you say they continue to grind out results. They do. But the victory, I mean, you've got to put it in some kind of context. The victory against Azerbaijan was sensational. 4-0 against an Azerbaijan side who've done brilliantly so far in the last year or so, and they've done well in the group. They're a decent team, and the recent results kind of prove it. So Northern Ireland at home, I'd give them a sniff against anybody. And I always have done with Northern Ireland. You know, even going back to when David Healy was scoring hat-tricks against Spain and everything else, you know, I can't look past them here. And I think the price is ridiculous. I think they should be a lot shorter against the Norwegian side, who can't win away from home. They are nowhere near going to get anywhere near qualification, obviously. And Northern Ireland have a chance. So 7-5, I think, is a gift.
OK, fair enough. Derek, are you in agreement?
Yeah, it's the same price, isn't it? Northern Ireland to beat Norway is the same price as Scotland to beat Slovenia. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Northern Ireland, I mean, you'd rather be on the Irish all day long. I mean, the only thing Norway has in its favour is that it's not Finland. I mean, it's hardly anything to boast about, although Norwegians usually do. I think that's a word for their national anthem. We are not Finland. I think Northern Ireland are certainties here. That result, what you say there, Tom, about that result game, Azerbaijan are their closest rivals in the group, by the way, and they battered them 4-0. You know, I look at the squad they have, and how do they win games? But they keep winning, they keep surprising you. It just shows you what togetherness, you know, does for an international side and a club side. Yeah, 7-5, it does look home and hose, that one.
Okay, and my favourite player, Gareth McCauley, 11-2 anytime. He keeps getting shorter, but he keeps scoring, so it's sort of... I don't mind that, to be honest. But we are firmly in the Northern Irish camp in that one. Right, that's the international done and dusted. We are just going to have a quick nod to the Premier League, because of course they're not playing this week, but you can still bet on the action. We're just going to evaluate we're going to start with the top four markets. We're assuming that Chelsea are home and host here in winning the league. We're not even going to look at that. Top four finish: Man City 10s on, Tottenham 10s on, Liverpool 2-7, Man United 6-5, Arsenal 11-4, and Everton 25-1. It would appear, Derek, to be a battle between Liverpool, Man U and Arsenal. Arsenal currently 11-4, but could you get involved with them at the minute?
No, couldn't get involved at Arsenal. They're only going one way. I mean, it wouldn't be the greatest surprise in the world if Everton finished above them. And, you know, what a kick in the teeth that would be for Wenger and his cronies. The interesting market is Man United. I mean, look, I can't understand why Liverpool are so short. United are 4 points behind Liverpool, but they've got two games in hand, and they're picking up points like there's no tomorrow at the moment. United, you know, everyone says, well, they've got too many things involved: the FA Cup, the Europa League. Jose Mourinho, the manager, said he'd rather win the Europa League than finish in the top four. But he's going to say that kind of thing. You know, they're not giving up the race for fourth spot. Absolutely not. And I just don't understand the difference in prices between the two. If United win one of their games in hand, they're a point behind Liverpool. They only got a draw on the other one, and they're level on points. And yet, what are they, 6-5 in Liverpool long odds on?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me. You've got to be on United to finish in the top four. Furthermore, I would say that United, at their best, are better than Liverpool.
No, I think I'd agree with you. And Liverpool haven't been flying of late, have they, Tom?
No, and both clubs, if you think of it, it's a sort of a race between those two, maybe for that fourth spot. You know, both clubs this season have struggled against kind of the lesser teams. Liverpool far more dramatically. I mean, Manchester United have drawn matches, you know, at home. You know, particularly that one against Burnley sort of sticks out in Middlesbrough. You know, they've drawn games that they should be winning, but Liverpool have been beaten. And if I look at them sort of head-to-head in the battle between now and the end of the season, I'd look at which team is kind of a bit more battle-hardened, which manager is maybe better equipped to kind of deal with the schedule that's kind of coming up. I don't think it really matters that Manchester United have loads of games. I think we just use that as a bit of an excuse now. I think if Manchester United get on a roll and they get to semi-finals and then the final of the Europa League and continue in that kind of vein, I only think it's going to help them. I really do. Whereas I think Liverpool are in that stage where, you know, they've also got the Merseyside derby next. They've got a potential banana skin against Bournemouth, which is exactly the kind of game that they slip up in. Stoke away, West Brom away. You know, those next four matches, you know, you just can't look at them, Liverpool, with any kind of certainty. However, even though they've improved recently, whereas Manchester United, Sunderland, you know, they host Chelsea as well coming up, but they've got West Brom and Everton at home in their next couple of Premier League matches. So I think the price is interesting. I'm with Derek on that. I just think I think Manchester United have probably got the mental edge maybe just to sneak over the line there.
And they've also got a bigger squad, so if they are competing in two tournaments, it doesn't matter too much. What about the other end then? Sunderland to get relegated, 12-1 on. Middlesbrough 4-1 on. Hull 4-9, and then Crystal Palace 11-4 with Swansea 11-4, 12s and bigger the rest. The market would suggest that, well, it's already curtains for Sunderland and Middlesbrough, and Hull are struggling as well. I mean, the fact is, Tom, that Sunderland and Middlesbrough are yet to really kick on, whereas everybody else around them, when they've needed to, the likes of even Hull, even though they are still struggling, it's because they were so bad early on in the season. But Hull, Swansea, Palace, Leicester needed to win and did.
Well, that's it, you know, and changes of managers. I mean, obviously Hull have done that, and they've had a great impact at home. The key for Hull, if they've got any chance, and I give them the best chance out of the bottom three. I think Sunderland are gone. Middlesbrough just don't score goals, and there's nothing that Steve Agnew and Joe Jordan are going to be able to do, you know, over this international break that's going to change that. I'm afraid I just don't see enough goals in the team. Now, you can make the same case for Hull, but what Hull have in the bank really is home results and home wins. You know, of late, since Marco Silva's come in, they've not lost a home match. And the teams that they've beaten, you know, they've beaten Manchester United, they've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten Swansea, one of their rivals, they've beaten Bournemouth as well. So the key for them is going to be their home form. And they host West Ham, Middlesbrough, Watford, Sunderland and Tottenham. Now, I would look at that and I think there's four wins in that for them, based on recent form. And that might give them enough. It might be enough from where they're at right now to just drag someone else into it. The problem you've got when you look at relegation is obviously the form of Swansea and Palace, and you know, they've kind of turned it around. But I give Hull the best chance of survival. Who gets dragged right into it? It's difficult. A few weeks ago, it looked like Palace couldn't buy a win. Bournemouth was struggling and conceding loads of goals. Swansea were flying as well. You know, it's chopping and changing quite a bit. But I think if any team who's in the bottom three is going to get out of it, I think it might be Hull.
OK, Derek, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, the two North East clubs do look doomed. Sunderland because they are the worst team in the division by miles. Middlesbrough because they just don't score goals. New manager coming in might help things, but they've got a lot of work to do. And what Tom says about Hull, if there is a team to escape the drop out of those three, it will be Hull. But I'm just trying to work out which, if they did escape, which team would drop into it. I was hoping it would be Palace, but no, they seem to have turned the corner now. They have finally got the players playing for Hippo Head, and I didn't expect that to happen. I thought Watford might drop down into it, but they looked, you know, 31 points, that's 7 points ahead of Hull at the moment, you know, with a game in hand. So it's going to take a collapse of unbelievable proportions for Watford to drop into it. And you know, you're talking about Bournemouth a few weeks ago. You know what, Bournemouth are 11th? How has that happened? They're above West Ham, Bournemouth. I can't believe that. I think this table I'm looking at is wrong. Who says the table doesn't lie? This one I'm looking at is lying, surely. So yeah, you know, the long odds on those bottom three for a reason. I think they will. I think the teams above Hull right now are playing better than Hull, playing with a bit more confidence, a bit more spark. And you can see them all getting wins anyway. Hull, you can't, only at home.
Okay, fair enough.
The one point I'd make to have, just about Palace quickly, is their running is by far and away the toughest, by the way. Away from home, before the end of the season, they've got to go to Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City and Manchester United. And at home, they've got to host Arsenal, Leicester and Tottenham. Mm. You know,
that is the
toughest running. So away from home, you might think their only chance of getting points is one game against Southampton. And then at home, if Leicester keep going the way they are, I mean, Arsenal, that might be a win. but Tottenham as well. They've got Burnley and Hull coming to Selhurst Park. I'll look at that running, and I know they're improving, but I might just see three wins there of all those matches. So Palace will be the one for me because it's not even close with everyone else who's running. They have the toughest.
Okay. Plenty of markets for you to get stuck into as well on the William Hill website. If you go on the specials tab as well, plenty of transfer specials. Wayne Rooney's next club, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Alexis Sanchez as well. Plenty for people to get involved with, and Arsene Wenger specials as well, if you so wish. Thank you very much for joining me, chaps. Best luck with all bets that you and the listeners have, of course, across the international football this weekend. Dave Kellner will be back next week when the Premier League will be back. Hooray. Thank you for joining me on The Punt, and we'll speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.